Good morning. I have come up here today to speak about our church weekend away. I'm sure you have heard it being spoke about. Chris has been promoting it, so I just want to give it another plug. So we are planning a trip to the Compass Christian Centre on the 24th to 26th of March. It is in Glensheep. It is a beautiful, beautiful setting. It's available to go all weekend or for a day trip, whatever you would fancy. Here are some of our pictures. It's in a stunning location. There's lots of like breakout spaces, lounge areas. You can have a relax, or you can join in with all the mad activities. It's just whatever you kind of want to make of the weekend. Here's one of our worship spaces. There are many places for activities, games halls. It's a time where we can grow together in fellowship and be part of our church family. So please sign up. We've got leaflets lying around made by Chris Cameron, and it's got in it a QR code that you can scan to sign up via the website. There is a cost involved, but please don't hesitate to ask for help. We're doing fundraising, so if you can't afford the full fee, please just ask, and we would be really happy to subsidise some of your payment. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, choir, for that beautiful intro. Count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. On behalf of our congregation and our parish, I would love to welcome all those who are worshipping with us this morning here at Newport-on-Tay Church of Scotland, especially those who are doing so after a long while, or those who are doing so for the first time. Our call to worship this morning is from Psalm 78, the verses 1 to 7. Psalm 78, the verses 1 to 7. O my people, hear my teaching. Listen to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter hidden things, things from of old. What we have heard and known, what our fathers have told us, we will not hide them from their children. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power, and the wonders he has done. He decreed statutes for Jacob and established the law in Israel, which he commanded our forefathers to teach their children, so that the next generation would know them, even the children yet to be born, and they in turn would tell their children. Then they would put their trust in God and would not forget his deeds, but would keep his commands. Let us worship God. And our first hymn, 364, All Glory, Lord and Honor.
Oh,
Let us pray. O God, maker of all things, lover of all people, your presence is with us always, around us and within us. You are the source of our life, and without you, we and all things would cease to be. Father, as we approach your throne of grace this morning in worship, we come bringing with us our burdens, our secret sorrows, and even the things that we plan to do. Take away from us, O God, every form of hardship or burden, especially in our hearts, and give us your peace. Help us to worship you with mind and heart and all the power of our being. Father, we come to you conscious of the things within ourselves we hate to remember, yet cannot forget and fear to renounce. Our self-indulgences, our prejudices, our resentments, our hypocrisies, our selfishness. Save us from self-contempt as we acknowledge these things and as we remember your love for us in spite of all that we are and continue to do. Give us the assurance of pardon, the release and relief of those who know that the past is forgiven, and the zest and joy of those who know that the future is still to come. So may we live in that fullness and freedom of life which you have promised that we can share through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. 10,000 reasons. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Thank you.
Good morning. Good morning. Nice to see you again. I'm here to talk this morning to the boys and girls. And I think I see three, four boys and girls. And you're very welcome to come and join me here at the front. It's good to see you. How are you? You good? How are you doing? Good. Good. Brilliant. Brilliant. So this morning, we're going to be speaking about one of the stories that Jesus told his disciples, and that includes us, to help them to understand something about him and the kingdom of God. Does anybody know what the fancy word is for the stories that Jesus told? It begins with par. He told them, but it's going to be in the video, and then I'll ask you after, okay? And this is one of the stories. It's often called the parable of the sower, or the parable of the seed and the sower. But perhaps in a way it's more helpful to think of this as the parable of the soil. And we'll find out why when we watch this video.
God's story, seeds and a farmer. So a part of God's story is about some seeds and a farmer. And it goes like this. Jesus traveled from town to town, teaching about God everywhere he went. Lots of people followed. One day, a huge crowd came to see Jesus. So many people that Jesus had to get into a boat while the people stayed on shore so everyone could see and hear him. Jesus helped people to understand what God is like by telling stories. We call those stories parables. That day, Jesus told this parable. A farmer went to his field to plant some seeds. Some seeds fell into a path. Before these seeds had a chance to grow, some birds flew in from out of nowhere and ate the seeds up. Some seeds fell into stones and rocks. These seeds started to grow, but their roots couldn't go deep enough to get water. And when the sun came up the next day, it burned up the plants. Some seeds fell among thorns. They grew, but so did the thorns, until the thorns got so thick they blocked out the sun and rain. Still, other seeds fell into good soil that was perfect for these plants to grow. These seeds grew into big, tall plants, and they made seeds of their own. And those seeds became big, tall plants too. Eventually, those seeds grew to produce many times what was planted. When he had finished, Jesus said, "Whoever has ears should listen." But not everyone who heard the parable understood it. The disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Why do you use stories when you speak to people?" And Jesus explained that just because people hear information about God doesn't mean they understand it. But sometimes, when we hear a story about God, we can understand something about him that we didn't understand before. Well, people must have still been confused because Jesus went ahead and explained the story of the seeds and the farmer. The farmer scattering seeds was like Jesus telling people about God's plan to rescue them. Remember the seeds that were eaten by birds? They're like the people who have heard about God's rescue plan, but didn't understand. They never got a chance to learn about God or start to follow him. The seeds that fell into stones and rocks? These were people who heard and believed in God for a little while, but they gave up when following God was hard to do. Their faith wasn't very deep, like the roots of the plant weren't very deep. What about the seeds that fell among thorns? These were people who heard, believed, and started to follow, but they couldn't trust God with their whole life. Their worries and selfishness stopped them from growing, just like thorns block the plants from getting sunlight and water. And finally, the seeds in the good soil. They're the people who hear and receive Jesus' rescue, and then they follow Jesus, and their faith keeps growing no matter what happens in their lives. They grow strong and healthy and help other people to follow Jesus too, just like plants that grow and produce seeds to make other plants. Jesus wants people to know that it's not enough just to hear his words or stories. We can put our faith in Jesus and follow him. Basically, we have to trust God with everything and do what he says, even if that means some people don't understand us, or even if we get worried and make mistakes. And if you're watching this, that means you can trust God and do what he says too. And that's the parable of the seeds and a farmer. So in case you missed it, here's the quick version. Jesus told stories called parables. One parable is about seeds and a farmer. Some seeds were eaten by birds or fell among rocks or thorns. Some seeds grew in good soil. The farmer is like Jesus. People who put their faith in Jesus are like the seeds that grow. And that's a part of God's story.
Always worries me slightly in that video when they say, okay, so here's the quick version, because I think it's quite quick anyway. It's about a story that Jesus told. And It did say in the video, if anybody can remember what the name of a kind of story that Jesus told was. Yep.
A parable.
A parable. Well done. Yep, that was very good. And this was about the seed and the sower and the soil. And does anybody remember how many different types of soil were there in the story? You can count them off if you like. Yep. Absolutely, you're on a roll. Well done. There were four. Very, very good. Well done. And does anybody remember anything about the different types of soil? Oh, you're absolutely on a roll. Yep.
And there was the rock.
Yep, yep. So there was the sort of rocky one that didn't have very deep roots. Yep. Or there was the. Are you thinking of the path?
Another rock.
The rocks. Yep. Any other types? Yep. Absolutely. So there was the rocky soil, there was the path. What else can we... Yep.
There was ones that got grown over by thorns.
Absolutely. I'm super impressed. And do you remember the fourth and final type of soil?
The one that works.
Absolutely. Oh, I think that's definitely worth a round of applause. Very, very good. Very good. So the video tells us about different types of soil. And this is a story that Jesus told his followers. Because, of course, Jesus moved around communities telling people stories. And the thing about being told a story is a lot of how effective it is for us depends on how we respond, how we receive the story. And the people that Jesus would tell stories to would respond in all different kinds of ways. So if we think that Jesus telling the stories was a little bit like the farmer, and we think that the seeds are God's word and the spreading of God's kingdom, we think that Jesus was putting seeds out for people. Some people were a little bit like the path, and it didn't really sink in at all, did it? And what happened when the seed scattered on the path? Did it grow into big... No. You remember what happened, don't you? Absolutely, they got eaten by the birds. So straight away, the story was gobbled up and it was gone before it even went in. Now, you said the second type of soil was the rocky soil. So I think the seed would go in. There's some soil a little bit like this in Scotland in some places, and the seed might go in and it might get a tiny little bit of a flower, but it's not deep enough for the roots, is it? It's not deep enough to really anchor in. So as soon as the sun comes out, or as soon as things get difficult, the plant just withers and it dies. So there were some people who Jesus would tell the story to, and they would think, great, he's telling me about God's kingdom, he's telling me about love, and he's telling me all about himself and explaining my life to me. And they would go away, and when things become difficult, as things were very difficult and are difficult now, they wouldn't have the deep roots to survive, and the plant would go. And in the third type, we think of people who would hear the stories and all sorts of distractions, or maybe other people's stories or things in their own life would creep in, and they'd be like the thorns that would come and they would damage the good story that Jesus told. But we need to be like the fourth type of soil, the deep soil that is ready to receive the good news about Jesus, to receive the good news about his coming to be with us, his love for us, the fact he died and he rose again for all of us so that we can be with him. We need to be like the good soil, ready to hear that good news, ready to be deep enough so that when the bad times come, it's okay. We know that God's with us. When the things in our life get difficult, or when distractions come up, or when the sun comes, like in the story, to scorch the seed, it's okay. Jesus holds us so deeply in his love that we can hold on to his message forever, even in the most difficult of times. I think you've taken in that story incredibly well. I've been extremely impressed by your answers and by your listening. And I'd like now to join and just sing a little prayer to God to thank him for this story. Let us pray. God, our Father, sower of the seed and giver of life and life in all its fullness and the messages of hope, we thank you that you have made each of us in your image, that we are your children and that you love us. We thank you that you tend to each of us and that you sow seeds. In our communities, will you help us to tell other people about you, about your love and how wonderful it is? And will you help us to really be a good, deep, nourishing soil so that when we hear messages about you and about your kingdom and about your love, it can grow and it can flourish and it can produce other seeds so that we may help others learn of your love too. So be with us through the good times and the bad. And will you bless us today and will you bless us in Sunday Club and in the week ahead. Lord, we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you very, very much. I hope that you have a wonderful time at Sunday Club. I don't know what you're doing today, but I know it will be very, very good. So God bless you for that, and it's really good to see you. We're going to sing just a song before you go through. Seek ye first the kingdom of God.
Yeah. Our first reading is taken from the book of Isaiah, chapter 55, reading verses 6 to 11. It can be found on page 742 of the Pew Bible or on the overhead. Book of Isaiah, chapter 55, reading verses 6 to 11. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it, without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. Our second reading is taken from the Gospel according to St. Matthew, chapter 13, reading verses 1 to 9. It can be found on page 978 of the Pew Bible. Parable of the Sower. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered round him that he got into a boat and sat in it, while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places, where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly, because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still, other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. He who has ears, let him hear. Amen. And may God add his blessing to these readings of his holy word. We continue our worship by joining together in hymn 556, I Need Thee Every Hour.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, by the power of your Holy Spirit, illumine the sacred page, we pray, that our minds may be open to receive your word, our hearts taught to love it, and our wills strengthened to obey it. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, we pray. Amen. Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, this morning I want us to think about the ways in which the Word of God has impacted our lives. How has God's Word transformed or changed your life or impacted on your life and the life of others? Our New Testament text this morning from Matthew chapter 13 opens by telling us that on the day Jesus told his parable, or the parables, starting with that of the sower, the crowds following Jesus and hanging on his very word had grown very large. So large that Jesus had to invent his own shoreline amphitheater to be heard. Looking out over that big crowd and scanning not only the shining faces, but scanning also the hearts of those people with a kind of spiritual MRI, Jesus Christ could see the hard hearts, the shallow hearts, the thorny hearts, and the pure hearts. And so he began to tell his stories to all those hearts. Once there was a man who went out to sow corn. As he scattered the seed in the field, some fell along the path, and birds came and ate them up. Some fell on rocky ground where there was little soil. The seeds soon sprouted because the soil wasn't deep. But when the sun came up, it burnt the young plants, and because the roots had not grown deep enough, the plants soon dried up. Some fell among thorny bushes, which grew up and choked the plants, but some fell on good soil, and the plants produced corn. Some produced 100 grains, others 60, and others 30. And Jesus Christ concluded, "Listen then, if you have ears to hear." It may be that as Jesus Christ was using the boat as his pulpit by the lakeside in one of the fields near the shore, a sower was actually sowing. And Jesus took the sower, whom they could all see, as a text, and began to teach them. "Look at the sower there sowing his seed in that field, and learn something from him." This parable has a number of lessons, both warnings and encouragement. There are different ways of accepting the Word of God, and the fruit which it produces depends on the condition of the hearts of those who hear it. The fate of any spoken word depends on the hearer. So who then are the hearers described and warned in this parable? There is the hearer whose mind is shut. There are many things that can shut our minds to the Word of God. Prejudice can make us blind to everything we do not wish to see or even to hear. The spirit that refuses to be taught can erect a barrier which cannot be broken down easily. And people who refuse to learn might do so for one or two reasons. It can be the result of pride, which does not know that it needs to know. And it can be the result of the fear of new truths and the refusal to adventure on the ways of thought. Sometimes an immoral character and our way of life can shut our minds to the truth. And when the truth condemns the things we love and wish, and which accuses the things we do, many of us refuse to listen or to recognize the truth because it condemns us. But there are none who are so blind as those who deliberately refuse to see and to accept the truth which God brings to our lives and which can change and transform us. And then there is the hearer with the mind like the shallow ground. People who fail to think things through or to think things out. And some people are at the mercy of every new ideology. They accept every teaching or every new thing very easily, and so they also deny it easily. These are people who must always be in the fashion. They begin some new hobby or begin to acquire some new accomplishment with enthusiasm, but the thing becomes difficult and they just abandon it. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, there are many people, many people whose lives are littered with things they began and never completed. It can be the same with the Word of God. When we hear God's word, we may be swept off our feet with emotional reactions, but no one can live on an emotion. We have minds, and it is a moral obligation to have an intelligent faith, not an emotional one. Christianity has its demands, and these demands must be faced before it can be accepted. If our emotions drive us to accept the word of God, then we will quickly lose it. And then there is the hearer who has so many interests in life that often the most important things get crowded. We become too busy to pray, so preoccupied with other things that we forget to study the Word of God. So involved in church committees and good works and charitable services that we leave ourselves no time for God, from whom all love and service come. And then finally, there are those who are like good ground. In their reception of the word, there are four stages. Like the good ground, their minds are open. They are at all times willing to learn. They are prepared to hear, never either too proud or too busy to listen. Dear friends, many people would have been saved from all kinds of heartbreak if they had simply stopped to listen to the voice of a wise friend or to the voice of God. Such listeners have understood. They have thought the things out and know what this means for them and are prepared to accept the word that would transform them into vessels of greater beauty. They translate their hearing into action. They produce the good fruit of the good seed. The real hearer is the one who listens, who understands, who obeys, and who impacts the lives of others. Now, I know what some of you might be thinking. What kind of parable is this? It's a parable about seeds and sowing. Seeds here, seeds there, seeds everywhere, being scattered randomly. That just seems like poor planning. And given today's economy, that's just wastefulness. And by today's farming practices, it is inefficient to do so. With the cost of seeds and the time spent sowing, it may not even be profitable to throw seeds away like that. But these are not, however, the sower's concerns. they are our own concerns. Thankfully, this parable is about God's faithfulness and not about farming, soil quality, or how things work in this world, but how things work in the kingdom of heaven. In the sower's world, wastefulness gives way to hope. Inefficiency gives way to love, and profitability gives way to generosity. Every part of your life has been sown with the seeds of God, and you know what happens to seeds? Given the right conditions, apple seeds become apples, and the doctors tell us an apple a day keeps you away from the doctors. Peach seeds become peaches. God's seeds become fruitful in the lives of his children and for the good of the world. The parable of the sower illustrates how the truth that is embedded in those parables would impact the life of those who hear its message and obey it. Although the gospel of the kingdom of heaven will be preached indiscriminately in this world, there are varied responses to it. One's external response indicates the inward spiritual condition of his or her life. The life-giving force is in the seed, not in the soil. So how the soil responds to the seed indicates the impact of the life of the kingdom in a person's heart. This includes whether it is rejected outright by a hard heart or it is received in a shallow fashion but does not take full rootedness or is choked by competing priorities. Only the person who receives the message deep into his or her heart has allowed the life-giving gospel of the kingdom to take root and produce fruit. So what effect does the word of God have in your own life? And can that be recognized in the world and in the communities in which you live? The story is told of a father and a son who arrived in a small town looking for an uncle whom they had never seen. Suddenly, the father, pointing across the square to a man who was walking away from them, exclaimed, "There goes my uncle." His son asked him, "How do you know when you have not seen him before?" "Son, I know him because he walks exactly like my father." If we walk in the Spirit, the world should know us by our walk. Here then is the message of the parable of the sower. Let us pray. Gracious and ever-living Father, we give you thanks for the seed of your word that has been sown in our lives and that continues to be sown in our lives and in the lives of many others in the world. But we think of the effects of those seeds and what they do in our lives and with our lives. We pray, O God, for a transformational effect so that we may go forth to be people who transform the lives of others as we bring your life-giving word to the people. Forgive us, O Father, for times when that seed of your word has been buried without growth or choked by competing priorities. Help us, O Father, to be committed people and to seek to grow your word in our lives for the good of the world. Through Christ our Lord we pray. Amen. My faith looks up to thee, thou Lamb of Calvary. Our next hymn. us pray. Let us dedicate the offering and let us intercede for ourselves and for others. God, our Heavenly Father, you have given us so much. And the money we bring to you is only part of the blessings which you have granted us. Take our money and take us and use this for the furtherance of the work of the kingdom and continue to replenish its sources. Hear us, Father, as we pray for our fellow people and help us to know our kinship with them as brothers and sisters in your family. Break down the prejudice, the selfishness, and fear that separate men and women from one another. Help the nations of the world to find a way to live together in peace with honor. Forgive the arrogance of the strong and the resentment of the weak. Bless the work of all those who are bringing aid to needy countries throughout the world, and show us how we must bridge the gap between wealth and poverty, plenty and hunger. We pray for all those who find the pace and strain of life too much for them, for those who fear redundancy, for those who have lost confidence in themselves, for those who are slowing down through illness or increasing years, for those who are oversensitive to criticism, for those who are overworked and underpaid, for all who are worn down in body or in mind by the burdens which they carry. Give your help and guidance, Lord God, to all whose work affects the lives of others. Give wisdom and integrity to our leaders, to those who serve in parliament, especially to those who bear the burden of decision in government, to our industrialists and men and women of business, to our trade union leaders, to all who control the mass media of communication. May those who have power over their fellow people use it with sense and restraint for the good of all and for your glory. Bless and strengthen the bonds of family life within our land. Teach us how to understand one another better, parents and children, husbands and wives, and through deeper understanding, deepen our love. May peace and joy dwell in our hearts and in our homes. Father, we bring to you now the special needs of people known to us as neighbors and friends, those who are sick, those who are bereaved, those who are lonely, those who are afraid, those who are ashamed, and those who are bitter. You know their needs better than we do. Give them not what we ask, but what your love directs. God, our Heavenly Father, in the face of unspeakable tragedy, the suffering of those in our community, and the destruction and loss of life in Syria and Turkey, we pray what the psalmist wrote in Psalm 10. Lord, you know the hopes of the helpless. Surely you will hear their cries and comfort them. You will bring justice to the orphans and the oppressed. Comfort the people whose family members and friends have died as a result of these earthquakes. Draw close to them. Equip believers in Syria and Turkey to show the love of Jesus to their neighbors by helping in tangible ways and sharing the hope of the gospel. Heavenly Father, our hearts are moved by the effects of the earthquakes in Turkey and Syria, the grief felt by families who have lost loved ones, who await news of loved ones, is unimaginable. We turn to you, God of all comfort, and ask that you be close to people in the days ahead, and that they might know your peace that surpasses all understanding. Lord God, we pray for those who have lost their homes or have moved to safety away from tall buildings. Please keep them warm in the midst of this harsh winter and provide all they need. We pray especially for children who are confused and frightened by what is happening. May you be for them an oasis of peace in which to take shelter. Lord God, we thank you for the swift action of those who are already responding, for the rescue teams searching for survivors. We ask for endurance and resilience. For those providing temporary shelter, we pray for the swift delivery of equipment. And for all those in communities offering comfort and help to their neighbors, we pray that you give them selfless compassion. Lord, we pray for world leaders as they decide how to respond. We pray that you stir each of our hearts in generosity towards the people of Turkey and Syria, and again of Ukraine. Inspire generosity in the hearts of people in the United Kingdom and across the world, prompting individuals to give the resources and money needed to help communities rebuild. Empower the church in Great Britain to show radical love for our immediate neighbors who are grieving the loss of life, beauty, and peace in Syria, in Turkey, and in Ukraine. Let us not turn away, but help us be your hands and feet to love those who are suffering and bear witness to your presence with them. Eternal God, we trust you not for this world alone, but for the world to come. We remember our own loved ones who have passed through death to a new life. For their memory we give thanks, and for our fellowship with them now in your presence. Bring us at last where they are, to those things which our lips cannot utter, but which our hearts long for in the glory of your kingdom. Through Christ our Lord, we have said our prayers. Amen. If you are able, please stand and let us together affirm our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. Crown him with many crowns. A final hymn 459.
Thank you.
peace and serve the Lord. The Lord bless you and watch over you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God, who knows the thoughts and desires of every heart, guide and strengthen and fill you with all spiritual blessings and grace, that you may daily rejoice and be ready to give an account of your faith in the world. Amen.